Good morning, everyone. Well, we know this. For about 65 million people, it's going to be a rough, windy, wet weekend. And for some, it could be deadly as Hurricane Irene makes landfall expected tomorrow in the North Carolina area. We're going to talk to at least three of those 65 million people in the path of some part of this huge storm, Irene, which could be, at least the National Hurricane Center suggests that for some people, it's going to be a once-in-a-generation storm. Joining us now is Robin Tomlin, executive editor of the Star News in Wilmington, North Carolina. Robin, you're closest to the storm at this point. What are you seeing, and what preparations is your community making the top priority?
Well, at the moment, we're not seeing a whole lot, other than some storm surge and certainly some riptides that are creating problems for people who decided that they want to go out and surf. But we're expecting by later this afternoon that we'll start seeing tropical storm force winds and certainly large bands of rain. In terms of preparations, you know, people down here are used to storms, whether they're tropical storms or hurricanes, and they've been preparing really all week long. You know, most of our area is under a voluntary evacuation order, and certainly 39 counties across coastal North Carolina are under a state of emergency. So everybody's well aware of what's going on, and they're getting their stuff in order so that they're able to, you know, respond to the storm appropriately.
Robin, describe that transition that takes place. As you say, it's just some surf that you can see at this point. Probably is a nice, tranquil morning there. There's often this rapid 8 to 10, 12-hour transition from kind of sunny, muggy weather to first clouding up, and then things start to really whip up. These hours of calm are actually pretty important to the preparations, correct?
They absolutely are. In fact, it's kind of funny because, you know, yesterday out at the beaches, it was absolutely beautiful. And, of course, people who like to call themselves brave were out there trying to surf. But we had a number of water rescues. I think more than a dozen people were rescued by, you know, folks because they were, you know, just got in over their head way too quickly. But during this period of time, you know, there's a lot of communication coming out from every level of government, certainly from every level of media, about all the things that people need to do to prepare. And, you know, from, you know, this past weekend on, you know, it's really, that's what it's all been about, is making sure people understand what supplies they need to have, understand, you know, if they're in certain areas, whether they want to stay there, where they ought to go. There's been shelters that are opening up today so that people are able to leave their homes and be somewhere safe. And so a lot of that calm before the storm isn't really that calm when you're in one of those communities.
Right. And if you're in the water, literally, it's easy for those waves to get over your head. And you're talking about those water rescues yesterday. Robin Tomlin is closest to the beach on the program this morning. She's the executive editor of the Star News in Wilmington, North Carolina. A little farther inland and to the north is Anita Kumar, a staff writer for The Washington Post. She's in Richmond, Virginia. Anita, what are you seeing, and what's the priority in your community right now?
Well, yesterday the governor, Bob McDonnell, declared a state of emergency, and he told local governments that they could issue mandatory evacuations. As of this morning, a couple smaller communities, some low-lying areas in the city of Norfolk, and one beach community off Virginia Beach has declared a mandatory evacuation. There are some other voluntary evacuations, and you're seeing some shelters starting to open up around here.
And this is relatively, remind me of the geography. I mean, I don't know about Richmond, but there's a lot of very low-lying areas on that Virginia coast. Is flooding the big threat, or is it more wind damage?
It's both, actually. They have warned that there's going to be hurricane-force winds on the coast. Of course, Richmond's not on the coast, but there are huge amounts of Virginia that are, you know, Norfolk, Virginia Beach, that right along the Hampton Roads area. And they're also warning about flooding. So they're telling us both things. But actually, a large part of the state, you know, I'm very inland, are going to see a lot of rain, possible flooding, and then tropical force winds.
And when the, I guess it's the second fleet moved out of Norfolk yesterday,
That's
they made
right.
that decision. How unprecedented is that? I mean, and how much of a warning sign is that for residents? Because there are a lot of people who have connections to the military in Virginia, particularly the Navy.
I, I think what's happening is pretty unusual. Unlike North Carolina, this hadn't really been on the radar too much. I mean, it had to government this week, and the Emergency Operations Center was set up. But, you know, as you know, we were dealing with an earthquake earlier this week. So up until yesterday, when you saw, you know, what happened with the fleet and what you saw the state of emergency, I don't think it was a lot on a lot of people's radars until yesterday when we saw the track is now, you know, I guess it's not going to come ashore, but it's going to be at the North Carolina-Virginia border.
Anita Kumar, staff writer for The Washington Post, talking about the earthquake and the impending Hurricane Irene. Anita, what's next? I guess grasshoppers or a plague of frogs, something like that?
We actually have a fire here that's been going on since August 4th in the Great Dismal Swamp, which is a wetland. It's a huge area of Virginia. In southeastern Virginia, it also goes into North Carolina, and they've been trying to get that fire out for weeks now. So,
well, maybe this hurricane will actually do that. That's Anita Kumar, staff writer for the Washington Post, and all the way up I-95 to where it becomes the New Jersey Turnpike. Doug Doyle joins us, news director at WBGO Newark Public Radio. Doug, there are serious flood threats for the state of New Jersey in the low-lying areas along the Jersey Shore. What's the priority in the state of New Jersey?
Well, right now there are several spots in New Jersey, low-lying areas that are always of concern when you have hurricane warnings. Places like Bradley Beach in Monmouth County. Long Beach Island right now is the most concerned area because they have already started some voluntary evacuations there. It's really a problem that's affecting the southern part of the state right now. As far as the Jersey Shore, it is under a hurricane warning right now, so people are starting to heed that warning. There are some people, though, no matter what kind of warning you give them in New Jersey, they say they're going to stick it out. They're tired of hearing that this is going to be the big one, so they're going business as usual. Some people are still planning to have their parties on the weekend, but we did talk to a number of people in Ware Town, and in some of the grocery stores there, some of the supplies are already out, like D batteries and milk. You can't find it at any of the local supermarkets, and in Ware Town, people are very concerned that this could be a storm that could keep them out of business for a couple of days. Governor Christie has taken all kinds of steps to make sure that won't happen, declaring a state of emergency early yesterday, and by midday today, voluntary evacuations on the Jersey Shore. So people have been told, get out, get prepared. And whether they will, we'll have to wait and see.
Doug Doyle, news director at WBGO Newark Public Radio, the great jazz station in the Northeast. Doug Doyle, on your playlist, what is it, Bitches Brew for the weekend?
You bet.
All right. Doug Doyle, Anita Kumar in Richmond, Virginia, and Robin Tomlin in Wilmington, North Carolina. Thanks to all of you.